Welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. Stay tuned for singing and the morning message.
Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King.
Morning and welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Crisfield Marion Station area, and we meet at 5910 Crisfield Highway in Marion Station. Our Sunday mornings begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m. We have classes for youth and adults. Love to have you come and join us for that. Then our worship service begins at 10 o'clock, and since it's only about 8:32 or a little bit around that, you have plenty of time to come and join us as we look forward to worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Tonight we'll be back at 6 o'clock for evening worship service. We'd love to have you for that as well. That's more of a modified version of our Sunday morning. And we have a time of picking some old hymns or whatever song you'd like to sing. If you haven't heard in a while, we try to sing it to be a blessing to our attenders for the evening. Then Monday, we have our youth group at 6:30 here at the church. Tuesday evening, we have our Bible study at 7 o'clock. We've been doing a series on the marks of a healthy church. And then Wednesday morning, we shift over to the Taws Nursing Home, where we have a time of prayer and singing and devotion. Have a good time with the residents there. The community is welcome to come and join us, and that's either on the second or third floor at 10 o'clock Wednesday morning. Our men, they meet for a fellowship time Wednesday at noon. If you'd like to know where, you can contact me at the number I give at the end of the program. And our ladies meet every Friday at 12:30, someplace in Crisfield, and you can contact me on that, and I can let you know where they're meeting for the week. Also, I want to let everybody know that we are podcasting now. You can look us up on the web at christfellowshipbiblechurch.fireside.fm. And you can download this program. I've got sermons out there now on the book of Revelation, on Galatians. We've got some songs there that's been sang in the church. We'll have more coming up. Gospel of John, we'll have a bunch more stuff coming. But that's, again, christfellowshipbiblechurch.fireside.com. With all that being said, I have a song selected from last Easter Sunday morning that I'm sure will be a blessing to each and every one of you.
And stars departed, the morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured. King.
And thank the Lord today that Christ has defeated hell and death and sin for us. And that is just not something that is just for a moment, but as that song reminds us, that that is something that is forever. And we can be a part of that forever when we come to trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'd like to thank Luke for playing guitar and doing a backup for my daughter Kayla on that song. Most excellent. And thank the Lord for them both. Right now, I've got the part of the message that I preached last Sunday morning there on Easter about the empty tomb and what that empty grave today means for people like you and I.
If I, as a preacher or as a so-called Christian, are able to gain my eternal inheritance by my good works, then Christ died in vain. It was useless. It was a worthless death. It was something of which should not have happened. But to understand is that that is why exactly Christ had to come. Because you and I cannot be good enough. All of our attempts to get to God or be right before God are in vain. And the only way that you and I have eternal life and can come to faith in to have a relationship with God and be made right with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's clear. The Scriptures make that clear over and over and over again. Thousands of years of writings culminate into this person of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled every single prophecy concerning Him. If you go back and read all that was spoken of about the Messiah, how He would suffer and die, how it would be those even detailing to the very end that there would be one that would betray Him for 30 pieces of silver. What did Judas do? He betrayed Him for 30 pieces of silver. But He would rise. He would not let His Holy One see decay, is what the psalmist said. That He would raise Him up again. And here is Christ Himself is raised up. That there would be those that would still be in unbelief. His disciples, even though He had told them time and time and time again, the Messiah must suffer, he will die, but on the third day he'll rise again. Throughout the life of Jesus with his disciples in that 3.5 years, that was a message to them. And then today, on this day, they still were in unbelief. We can't believe it. Mary Magdalene says the tomb's empty. It's empty. I don't know where they put him, where they put him, and they have to go to see for themselves this empty tomb. So with us today, what does that mean for us? What does an empty tomb mean? What does this stone mean that was, what does all that have to do with this stone that was rolled away? It had been taken away from the tomb. You know, that was not so much today that Jesus was, that allowed this stone being moved, that allowed Jesus to come out of the tomb. That stone was rolled away that the people like you and me, that we could see in. Christ himself, when that resurrected body of Christ, that all that, the claws, everything else, that was just laid there. He passed through that. He passed through that of the stone walls of that cave, the big stone that was rolled over. It's not so much about letting Jesus out, but it's letting people in. The people can see. The people can see firsthand exactly the power of God. You say, well, that was a couple thousand years ago, Pastor. That's right. It was. And the account of which we have today, it still remains firm and true. Because just as it was with Peter and John and the other disciples, we talk about doubting Thomas, even though all the other disciples said, I've seen the Lord, he is risen, this is so. Thomas was like, no, I am not going to believe it unless I see where the spear went through his side, and if I can look at the scars or the holes in his hands where they drove the nails, I won't believe it. I won't believe. And for us as human beings, it remains the same. There are those that are in unbelief, whether there's a sign or not. Over in 2 Corinthians, there's a few things I want to read here this morning as a wrap up. Not going to hold us too long here today. But I want to impress upon you, because it's so important this morning, that for all of us, regardless of whether you're visiting or whether you're here every Sunday, it's important for us because this is a point. This is a turning point for all of human history here. And that is something that we cannot argue against, because we know that the resurrection of Christ, that we speak of Christianity across the board, that was a turning point for human history. That as we start to see how things start to unfold across the globe and the spread of Christianity, and how that people themselves, that there was such an awakening to the gospel truth, to salvation, but also how we come into who we are today. We think of all the colleges. We think of all those institutions of higher learning that were established on the basis of Christendom. Now, many of those have turned their back on how they were established. When we think of these higher schools of higher education, that even though they may have began as that of the bulwarks of Christianity, they've slipped pretty far from that. But it made a difference. It just didn't make a difference in the spiritual lives of people, but it also made a difference in the secular world. But there needs to be, as we've come to this point, is John and Peter, that they needed to believe. And when they went to that tomb, they couldn't believe that Jesus was gone. And even though for us today, friends, it's still in light of that there is a need for people to believe. Jesus would say that, because there were those that say, give us a sign. Give us a sign that you are who you say you are, that you have come from God, that you are the Messiah. Give us a sign, and then we will believe. Jesus, he says that a wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. He says, but with that, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a sign then. And here's the sign that I'll give you. Just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so must the Son of Man spend 3 days in the belly of the earth. That will be the sign to you. And today we have that sign. They asked, give us a sign. Jesus said, here it is. It's just as it was with Jonah, and so it will be with the Son of Man. Just as he spent it in the fish, I'll spend it in the ground as one that was dead. But on that third day, just as it was Jonah being spewed out on the beach, Jesus Christ himself was resurrected on that third day. But it still comes to a place of belief. It comes to a place of faith, right? We have people that testify all the time to us. I know I had a lot of people when I was lost, when I was, you know, just living my life as I wanted to live, but there were people that began to testify to me. They would testify to me about the risen Christ. They would testify to me about the need for having Jesus as Savior. They believed, but I didn't believe. And you today, you've had people today, maybe you've come in today and you haven't believed. You haven't truly trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. But you have had individuals who have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has made a difference in their life. You see a genuine difference in their life, and that's true Christianity. Not this mess that we see that goes on, that people, they say they have some kind of faith and they still live like the devil. That's not Christianity at all. Christianity is an individual who has come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you not only, as they vocalize that they have faith, but you see a definite change in their life, that they're different people. They don't live that way anymore. They don't live the way they used to live. And it's not that they were bad people. They may have been good old folks. They may have been your mom, your dad. They may have been your grandmom, your granddad. They may have been your best friend. But there's been a change in their life. There was something when they come, and you may not be able to understand it. You may not be able to really say what happened to them. But you see a definite change in their lives. Something happened along the line. Something changed in their life. And they today continue to witness to you. They continue to testify unto you faith in Jesus Christ. But see, it still comes back to where you need to believe. I can look back at my family lineage. And I can see individuals within my family, couple generations back anyway, that believed, that they trusted Jesus Christ. Now, I've still got plenty of skeletons in my closet. There were plenty of folks that didn't believe in my closet. And for a while, I was one of them. But those that I can look back on and see that there was something that was different about them, they were genuine in the faith. They believed. Now for us, as we go to 2 Corinthians here, the Bible tells us, he says in verse 12, he says, therefore, since we have such a hope, and the hope that we have is this ministry of which the Lord himself is poured out onto this earth through his Son Jesus Christ, that now we are no longer condemned because of sin, but through faith in Jesus Christ, that now I have eternal life. I have that of salvation that is of my own. And what does he say? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing by. Moses, when he would go meet with before the Lord, that he would be, in a sense, we'd use the term, radiated by the glory of God. And then when he would come back to the children of Israel, he was glowing. There was something different about him. He had been in the presence of God. And it's the same way for us when we have individuals that have come to faith in Jesus Christ, those who testify to you today, there is something different about them. They may not be literally glowing like Moses would, but there's a glow about them. There's a difference. He goes on. But their minds, it says, speaking of the children of Israel, but their minds were blinded, For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. See, what happens is that you and I, prior to our conversion, that even though we have many people testifying to us about the risen Christ, about the Savior of the world, that there is a veil that is over our eyes that we can't see. We do not believe. It's there, and that's what Paul is describing here. And even in a time like this, he says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, Paul's day, he says, when all the Jews gather in the synagogue on Saturday and the Old Testament is read, he says that veil is still there. They still don't believe. They still will not believe. With all the evidence that is presented to them, they still will not believe. Their heart, it says, when Moses is read, a veil, verse 15, lies on their heart. And that's the difference. True saving faith compared to that veil, still being blinded, not believing what the Scriptures have to say about the risen Christ. This, the Bible says, verse 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, when one looks adamantly to find Jesus Christ, when they look to be saved, when they start to feel conviction in their life, when they start to believe the testimony of others to them, the Bible, it says, when one turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. It's like, why didn't I believe this to start with? I look at my own life, and to use a term that my wife don't like me to use, why was I so stupid? Why did I tarry so long in not believing? Because it is so simple, it's so plain. But see, there's a veil. We're spiritually blinded. And it's not our attempts per se, but again, it's the power of God that removes the veil. And the beginning of that removing of the veil is the Word of God. The Bible tells us over in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And just as it was for Mary Magdalene, she was down at the tomb, Jesus' body's gone, she runs back to Peter and John, says, they've taken the Lord, I don't know what they've done with Him. And they have to run, and they have to look in and find out for themselves. The Bible says, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all now, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. So if we're saved today, you today, as a born-again believer, you would profess that you are a saved person. We have to pause and we have to answer because we want to make sure that our calling and our election is sure. So all of us come in today that are professing belief in Christ. Are you being transformed today? Are you being changed from glory to glory? Can you see that of Christ-likeness in your life? Is that demonstrated? And not that my works are saving me, but I do know that as the Bible says, that through my faith in Christ, that there should be works that are evidence to that of who I am as a believer. But do you see the transformation that's taking place in your life? Can you see it? And you can see today as you look at other people, you may be a lost person today, and you look at other folks, and you can see the transformation that's taking place in them. You see how they're being transformed. And you too can be transformed. It's by that of God's grace that any of us today are transformed. The Bible goes on in the same passage, if you would. We understand that there is a time coming for us, as we look at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. The Bible says in verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That's what they say. They run down to the tomb. What did they see? They saw an empty tomb. There was nothing there. And today, there are those of us that still will not believe. But for those of us that have believed, that we are not looking at the things that are seen. We're receiving it by faith. And just not an empty faith, just not a faith that has no evidence with it, just not something of faith that it's blind, but it's a faith of which it's evidence through Scripture, through the testimony of God Himself, that you and I can come to faith because we're not looking at what's just going on in this temporal world, the things that we see. But I'm looking at the unseen. I'm looking at those things that have been testified unto me through the Scriptures, and also noting, friends, through the lives of other individuals who have come to saving faith. Lastly here, as we look at chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent," and he's talking about these bodies that we have, verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, "We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." And we know that as Christ rose from the dead that day, that he would appear to Mary Magdalene, he would appear to the disciples on Emmaus Road, he would appear to others all throughout that day. And he would be in a resurrected body, a glorious body at that point. He says, and we too, we groan. We wait as believers today. There's a groaning in our own lives that we wait for that same thing. Not that we're looking to leave here, which I am. But that's up to the Lord on my time or my time of departure. He says, "For if we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, because we are clothed as we come to faith in Christ, we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. For we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." The life of Christ. That you and I, that we, these bodies, that we're just mere mortals. The soul is eternal. Who we are is eternal. But this body that we have now is just temporary. I'm a mortal man. But that also will be swallowed up in the life of Christ. Not only will my soul be saved, but also I have the hope of a resurrection just like Christ. That even though I may die, yet I shall live. What does he say? Verse 5. "Now he who's prepared for us this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that will give life to your mortal bodies also if the Spirit dwells within you. He's given it to us as a guarantee. That's how I know I'm saved today. It's not because I'm doing everything right and I've got everything just checked right off. My list is checked right off. I know I'm saved today because of the witness of the Spirit of God in my life. That's how I know. That's how I know. He says, "So we are always confident." There's a confident. I don't want to come across as arrogant today, but I do want to come across as confident, because my confidence is not in myself, but my confidence is in Christ. Amen. I would hope today that your confidence is in Christ.
And dear friends, that's all we've got time for this morning. If you'd like to contact me, you can do so by dialing 410-623-2401. And also remember that we have our new podcasting. It's at christfellowshipbiblechurch.fireside.fm. Fireside.fm. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your affections are for